Way to worship. Way to worship. So you think worshiping is worship, right? Praising God, lifting hands, singing praises to God, being in God's presence, worshiping. Jesus taught it was something else too. You'll see. That's what made Jesus holy, because he was obedient to God, even unto death. He loved everyone. He served God. He served everyone, no matter who they were. And he loved everyone. So we are to worship the way Jesus worshiped, don't you think? Yes, he was in the synagogue and he pulled open the scrolls and he spoke the word of God. But more than that, he lived the word of God. He was God on earth and he lived that word. He showed that word. He was the living word of God. So if Jesus Christ was the living word of God and we have the Holy Spirit that Jesus sent after he died, he sent the Holy Spirit, which would live in us. What's also living in us? The living word, right? So if the word is living, that means it's what? Alive. And it's doing something. See, something about living means doing, don't you think? Right? It's action. Love and action is what worship is all about. We're going to get to that in a minute. Let's go to the book of John this morning and see where this comes from. So the word of God always gives us instruction. And it's a familiar story maybe, but again, God has a message for you this morning through this scriptures. John 4. Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard Jesus is baptizing and making more disciples than John, though Jesus himself didn't baptize them, that his disciples did. So Jesus left Judea to return to Galilee. You ever notice how sometimes people are talking about who's better than the other? Right? You notice how human beings can be? Right? This person's better than that person. Jesus is baptizing more than John. Wouldn't you think that you'd both be glad that people are being baptized? Right? Wouldn't you think that'd be the frame of mind that you should have and we should have as Christians? Doesn't matter what church people go to, as long as they're hearing the word of God and knowing the love of God and living the word of God by their actions and baptizing people in the name of Jesus Christ. Shouldn't we celebrate that, right? Yes, right. Not if you're a Pharisee, however. The Pharisees weren't too fair, you see. No, they weren't. They couldn't see the truth. They wouldn't know the truth if they tripped over it. They wouldn't know love if it came right down from earth and stood right in front of them, as Jesus did. So Jesus does what all of us should do. And we run into, every once in a while, you're going to find that there might just be some opposition to you and your loving others and caring for others and things of that nature. Being like Christ, being a Christian in terms of being like Christ, sometimes there may be opposition. So we need to do what Jesus did when people oppose us and tell us, oh, you shouldn't be loving those kind of people. We do what Jesus did. He left. He left Judea. He left those Pharisees. He left those naysayers. He left those judgmental people. He left those people that hate. He left them, and he went about his business loving others. It doesn't matter what other people are doing. All that matters is what Jesus is doing. And considering the fact that we are Jesus followers, my Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus, we sang it in the song even, right? We are going to be just like Jesus. We're going to love everybody. Everybody, whether the Pharisees who aren't fair at all, whether they care or not. So we're going to leave them. Don't pay attention. Ignore them. You keep doing good and loving others. You keep serving God. You keep forgiving. You keep doing what God is calling you to do so that you're a living example of who God is. Let's show people what Christ is like, not by what we say, but by what we Book of John tells us, 1 John, it says, don't pretend to love others. Anybody can do that. Classic smile. How do we prove it? By our actions. Really love them the way God does. Be willing to sacrifice yourself, your time, your energy, your money, your whatever. Even opposition comes, you keep doing for others so that God is glorified. So, back to the scriptures. So he left, by the way. Okay. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, imagine having a walk for your ministry. He walked from town to town to minister. Anyway, we have it bad, right? Our air conditioning isn't working in the car, so, you know. Oh, sorry. Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. So it's the middle of the day, noontime. The sun is up. It's bright. It's hot, most likely, right? And he's tired. His feet are hurting, right? He's probably kicked off his sandals. And he's weary, weary from the walk. See, don't you love that Jesus is human just like us? Don't you get weary sometimes, especially when you're serving God 24/7 or other things that you might do in the meantime? So he rests. He sits down. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. The woman is a Samaritan, an outcast. The Jews and the Samaritans didn't get along. I don't know any people today that don't get along, but back then, there were people that didn't get along. So this woman is surprised. He says to her, "Give me a drink." And she says to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman." I'm going to add some words here. Why are you talking to me? You're supposed to hate me. She's surprised, right? What is she expecting Jesus, who is a Jew, to do for her or to her? Nothing. If anything, maybe insult her, call her a name. Ignore her. And here he's talking to her. First example, right, of what Jesus is like. He talks to everyone and everybody, no matter what label they wear, no matter what ethnic background they are, whatever religion they come from, right? Samaritans and Jews didn't get along. That didn't matter to Jesus. Does it matter to us? Of course not. Better not. If we're living the Word of God, right? No threats here. Oh. Why are you asking me for a drink? The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift of God has for you and who I am, you'd be asking me, and I would give you living water." If you only knew who I am. See, she didn't even know that this was a divine appointment, did she? She was just surprised that a Jewish person was talking to her. And he's asking her for a drink, and she's like, "I can't give you a drink because you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. I'm not supposed to be nice to you. Well, what are you doing even talking to me?" You see the conflict that's going on? Do you see what culture can do? Do you see what sometimes conditioning can do? That people think that they're less than and they shouldn't even be where they're supposed to be in the presence of God. Do you ever wonder about whether or not you fit into God's kingdom, whether you belong, all of us, for whatever reason? Somebody might say you don't belong for whatever reason they want to choose, or culture wants to tell them, or sociological people want to tell them, or psychologically messed up people want to tell them. I don't know who the people are that are telling them. The Pharisees had told them that. Religious groups had said that. But Jesus says, if you knew the gift I have for you, ask me for a drink. She's like, this is not supposed to go this way, mister. Huh. She says, but sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket. So what is she looking for? A physical answer, right? First of all, she doesn't understand he's Jewish talking to her, right? And he's a man talking to a woman, which is another thing culturally back then. Women weren't allowed to talk to men. Not like that today, of course, but, you know, it wasn't the case back then. It was the case back then. So she's got two strikes against her so far. So she's a Samaritan and she is a woman. And yet this Jesus is talking to her. And then she realizes, wait a minute, you don't have a bucket or a rope. How are you going to get some water? So now she's in reality. Anybody ever been in reality of like, well, God can't possibly give me a drink of water. How's he going to do that? And this is a very deep well, sir, in case you haven't noticed. Where would you get this living water? Now, here's the thing about a well. Keep this in mind. How does well water get filled up? From rain. So it's stagnant water, isn't it? And if it didn't rain last night, there's not going to be any water in that well. And he's referring to what kind of water? What is living water? Moving water, right? Fresh water, right? From the river or from a lake or from an ocean. It's moving. How is he possibly going to get her living water from a well? This isn't going good right now, is it, for this poor Samaritan woman? How many times do you sometimes give God your excuses as to why he can't do something in your life? This is just a little aside. Maybe somebody in here. Oh, daily, okay. I guess the person spoke up who it was for, okay. Because we're too attached to the physical, right? We look at things in a reality perspective, don't we? And he says, and then she says, and besides, are you greater than our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his cattle enjoyed? I mean, she's just giving Jesus like, there's no way you're giving me this living water, bud. Look, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. You're a man, I'm a woman. You don't have a rope or a bucket. And you're no better than, how are you better than Jacob? She's giving him all her reasons and excuses why she can't get this living water. Listen, if you need a healing, if you need restoration, if you need hope, if you need anything from God that's an answer to a prayer, stop telling God why he can't do it for you. Stop pointing out all the reasons that you just don't have a way for God to fix you. He doesn't have a rope and he doesn't have a bucket. Can he give you living water? How in the world can he do that? Because he's God. If you have a problem that hasn't been solved, how is God going to solve it for you? Are you going to bring him a rope and a bucket and say, here, okay, give me some water? How about letting God answer your prayer the way God can and will? Supernaturally. Above natural. Greater than what's in front of you. And it doesn't matter who you are if you're going to know, right? We already know he's speaking to her, right? He's already offered her living water, right? Did he discriminate against her? No. She's trying to tell him why he can't do it, though. She's got a little faith problem here, maybe. I don't know. Jesus replied, people soon become thirsty again after drinking this water, physical water, right? Our physical needs get met, right? But aren't we thirsty later when we want the next best thing, right? And the next physical thing, right? That's that. This water from the well he's pointing to, right? But the water I give them takes away thirst altogether. It becomes a perpetual spring within them, giving them eternal life. What is Jesus talking about? The lady just wants some water. I'm thirsty, man. I came to draw water. You're talking to me about what is Jesus offering her? How often do we go to God for something physical, right? We write our prayers physical, right? We do. We all do, right? Get rid of this ache in my back. Help me get that job. It's okay to ask for those things. But what does Christ want to give us? Something more spiritual, something more lasting, something that's perpetual, which means it's forever. And anytime you need anything in a spiritual, emotional, or a physical way, where do you draw what you need? From inside of you with God. Because our spiritual needs are by far more important than any physical needs we have, are they not? Please, sir, the woman said, give me some of that water. Now she's on, like, oh, yeah, that's what I need. Then I would never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to haul water. Jesus is talking about spiritual things. What is she still talking about? Physical things. When you don't care about your physicalness in your life or your needs or however you want to put it, right? The getting and the wanting and all that stuff that we think fills us up, all the material things that we find to be so important that moths and rust can just destroy. The things that we find we have to have. Jesus is talking about having spiritual things. They're by far more important because, listen, everything and anything can be taken to you just like that. If you look at the hurricanes that take place, earthquakes, wildfires, tornadoes, can all your physical means of being alive disappear from you? Does that mean you're done and over with? Not if you have the right spirit, right? Long as you have God, even if you are down to nothing, you have everything you need, spiritually speaking. And that's all that matters, because that spirit of resilience and that resilience that you rely on God for will help you get moving forward again. Go and get your husband, Jesus told her. Uh-oh. I don't have a husband, the woman replied. You're right. You don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. Uh-oh. I gotta go now, Jesus. I'm heading back. I gotta go home. See ya. Thanks for the water. I gotta go. Man, did he call her out? Don't you hate it when God talks to you that way? Busted! What does this make this woman? The Pharisees, if they'd have come along right about then, stone city, baby. She'd have been done for. Shall I turn the page? Sir, she says, you must be a prophet. Gee, what gave you that idea, lady? You must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that the Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship while we Samaritans claim it's here on Mount Gerizim? And by the way, where are the rest of your disciples? Did they go? What kind of food did they go and buy? And oh, by the way, you know, if you take a shorter route to go back to Judea, instead of coming the way you came through this way, it's really a shorter route. What is this woman trying to do here? Divert the conversation, right? Is she ashamed? That's part of the reason, by the way, she came at noon. She was actually an outcast. She wasn't allowed to go with the rest of the married women and get her water with the rest of them. It's why she went midday. Everybody else, all the other women that were righteous, perfect, They went in the morning together. She goes at noon so no one will see her because most likely they called her names. Right away, I'm sure, she wants to divert the attention. So she starts talking about worshiping. Jesus says, "You Samaritans know so little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews," meaning himself. "But the time is coming and is already here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Wait a minute. I thought we were supposed to go to a place to worship. Jerusalem or Gerizim? What is Jesus saying? Where do you worship? Everywhere and anywhere. And how do you worship? In spirit and in truth. What is the truth? By the way we live, right? It's an action about, in other words, how this woman was living wasn't exactly fitting with the worship that Christ wants from us and for us, is it? He wants us to be different. And he also wants her to tell the truth. Like, what if she'd have said, instead of digressing about how to get him off the subject matter, "Yeah, I know, I don't seem to work very well at relationships. I've had 5 husbands, and this guy's a dirtbag, too. I don't know. I don't have a good picker, evidently, Mr. Jesus." Or she could say, "You know what? I'm not really good at relationships. I need someone to show me, spiritually speaking, how to have a good relationship, how to forgive and be forgiven." You know, what if she spoke the truth to him and said what was really going on in her life, you know? How many of us wear a mask and hide from God what we think God can't see? Because we're ashamed, right? Anybody here ever made a mistake? Oh, okay, all right. Anybody here ever had a broken relationship? Don't count the hands, okay? How many times you have to put it up there for it. But when you have a relationship with God first and foremost, does that change your relationships? And if the other person has God also, can that also affect the relationship? For what? The better. So Jesus is talking about worshiping. It says, "The Father is looking for anyone who will worship him that way, for God is spirit. So those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Turn to 1 John 4 because it's going to relate to that statement. 2 hours ago Remember that part of the bit about 2 hours ago when I started this sermon? I spoke about worship is what we do and the actions we take and how we live and how we love, correct? And see, we see Jesus with the Samaritan woman showing an action of love, don't we? He doesn't care that she's a Samaritan woman. He doesn't care that she's had 5 husbands. He's just saying to her, "Come on, I have living water for you, and I can change your life." In fact, what transpires shortly after that, I didn't go to the rest of the end of the verses, is she leaves her jar behind and goes and tells everybody in her town that she just met the Messiah. An act of worship there, wasn't it? He knew everything about me, she says in the scriptures. And yet he loves me anyway. Wouldn't you want a God like that? Do we not have a God like that? Aren't you glad that even if you've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 mistakes. I gotcha. Even if you did, you have forgiveness. Even if you're 100% imperfect, it's okay with God because you have 100% of forgiveness to cover that. He just wants you to tell the truth. and live the truth of who you say you are. See, the biggest problem I find today with Christianity is people aren't living the way Christ wants us to live. People aren't loving the way Christ did, are they? But I don't care about what other people are doing, do I? Who do I care about? Myself and you and anybody hearing this message. Wouldn't it be great if Christians actually loved the way Jesus did and does? Would it not be a better place on earth? Wouldn't your little corner of the world be better? Okay, church, so when are you going to start? Whoa. We got one person said it so far. Good. All right, we're making headway. 1 John chapter 4, I'm going to tie this together for you. John 3, 1 John 3, verse 18. Yeah. Dear children, let us stop saying we love each other. Let us really show it by our actions. It is by our actions that we know that we are living in the truth. Dear friends, verse 21, if our conscience is clear, we can come to God with bold confidence, and we will receive whatever we request because we obey him and do the things that please him. And his commandment. We must believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. And you can believe in Jesus Christ, right? That makes you a Christian. But there's an and in the sentence. And love one another just as he commanded us. Those who obey God's commandments live in fellowship with him and he with them. And we know he lives in us because the Holy Spirit lives in us. So how do we worship? What's the way to worship? Coming to church on a Sunday morning at 10 a.m.? Yes, that's a way to worship, right? Why we worship God that way is so we can be in God's presence and be amongst other believers and to hear the word of God and to just be in that presence with God in spirit and in truth, bringing all of our stuff that we brought in from the week and parts of ourselves perhaps that we want to have changed, and we stand before God and we say, I need a drink of the living water, and I need your living word, and I need your love, and I need your forgiveness. And more than that, God, I need you to fill me up with your goodness and everything that you are, as it says in your word, so it becomes a living word within me, and then I want to put it into action. That's how we live in spirit and in truth. That's how we worship. That, my friends, is the way to worship. How? Singing beautiful songs, raising our arms, of course. That's a form of worship. What's real worship? Sitting down with somebody that somebody else might call a name. Somebody who's not like us and doesn't worship the way we do. Someone who we're supposed to be in conflict with because they're not one of us. They're a they or a them. We're called to love everyone. That is the way to worship. Now, will the Pharisees like it? No. We just leave them and go tell others about a loving, wonderful God. But see, I believe it takes more than words. It takes action. Let's not really just say we love each other and we love everybody. I'm going to be watching your Facebook posts. And if I see one naughty thing out there about somebody else, God will quicken your heart. Are we human? Yes. We've been conditioned sometimes to think that people that are others aren't like us and we're supposed to maybe be afraid of them or whatever, whatever, whatever. Maybe that doesn't give us an excuse. I pray that this church, which is called the best of the best, better than the rest, the only way we're that is by each and every one of you and me and everyone here. We'll show it by the way we love each other. And not just each other, any other and every other. Whoever we come into contact with. And listen, it's not just on this property. Right? Because Jesus said, God doesn't care whether it's in a place that you worship. It's every place you are. You're to worship by loving others. We have a perpetual spring within us all of God's fountain of blessings, of love, of the living water in us. Let's give it to a thirsty world, shall we? Are you with me on this, church?
Yes.
Promise? Nobody's pinky? Okay. That is the way to worship. That's what God is looking for. True worshipers who live his word just like Jesus did. Amen?
Amen. Amen.